Vice President Joe Biden made a quick visit to Iraq last week, whisked into Baghdad's green zone to speak with what passes for authority in Iraq. Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi and Biden spoke of stepping up the pressure on ISIS invaders. But not long after Biden finished his trip, the real authority in Iraq made itself known. Muqtada al-Sadr is back. Actually, he never left. Most Americans might recall him as the Shia cleric who led the resistance after the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in 2003. 2 years ago, he announced he was retiring from politics, but his supporters stormed the Iraqi parliament over the weekend, penetrating the ultra-secure green zone. But after ISIS bombings killed more than 50 people in Iraq over the weekend, the protests disbanded. Patrick Coburn is the author of Muqtada al-Sadr, The Shia Revival and the Struggle for Iraq. He joins us from his home in England. Patrick, what is Muqtada al-Sadr seeking with these protests right now?
He's looking for these sort of technocrats to be put in rather than party people. The way the Iraqi system works is there's kind of a quota from the parties that are sectarian parties, Shia, Sunni, Kurd, Dawa party, which is the ruling party, gets the majority of the jobs. This is a sort of patronage client system, so you might end up as minister of something. Not because you already know anything about it, but because you're representing your party. And, you know, this is not something that's exclusive to Iraq, but it's combined with sort of corruption on a kleptocratic scale. Iraq is one of the most corrupt countries in the world, and people notice it particularly at the moment because the price of oil is low and there isn't enough money to, in a few months, there won't be enough money to pay state salaries. About 7 million people in Iraq who have state salaries or pensions. So that's become more and more of an explosive issue.
Has the Green Zone become a kind of Saddam Palace on the Hill symbol of all that is wrong in Iraq?
Exactly that, you know. And it looks, you know, it's almost a caricature of what's wrong with Iraq. But in the center of Baghdad, suddenly there's this great fortress surrounded by blast walls, by all these very elaborate checkpoints. You can't get in without multiple passes that are very difficult to get. Once you get inside, there's sort of, you know, you see suddenly fountains and so this has become a, you know, a hated symbol of oppression and corruption in for most people in Baghdad.
If the government, the entire sort of civil structure of Iraq is behind the walls of something that's seen as just a horrible reminder of all that is wrong with Iraq, how can the government ever be reformed? It just seems like something much more fundamental has to happen to have an impact on actual citizens in towns and villages outside of Baghdad.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, what the Sadrists, the followers of Muqtada say, well, that's true, but you've got to start somewhere. You know, some people have a figure of about 8,000 people at the higher ranks of the bureaucracy who have been appointed by the ruling party and are making a lot of money and don't intend to lose their jobs. But then the Sadrists say, well, you could start, you know, chipping away at the sort of key financial institutions like the central bank and state banks, which are often at the center of corruption. But overall, you're dead right. I mean, this is a deeply dysfunctional, crooked government machine.
Is this a legacy of the invasion, or did someone hijack the process along the way and we're essentially back in the Saddam Hussein zone without the brutal dictatorship but with all the corruption?
Actually, a great deal more corruption than under Saddam. I was there quite long in Saddam's time. You know, there was a certain amount of corruption, but not the sort of kleptocratic scale in which, you know, there is a $1 billion contract to build, you know, new houses, new bridges, and the money disappears and not a brick is laid on another. That didn't really happen in Saddam's time. So in that way, it's worse. The thing is, after the invasion of 2003, the U.S. and Iraqis allied to the U.S. never really were able to establish, having destroyed the state machine of Saddam, they were never really able to replace it with a machine that had that functioned properly, that had legitimacy in the eyes of Iraqis. It wasn't that they were in favor of Saddam Hussein. It's just they saw this as a foreign intrusion, or that the people who were running it were simply carpetbaggers who'd come back to Iraq from exile in order to make money.
the future?
Well, I don't think this is wholly negative, you know, popular protests moving into the green zone. You know, if this had happened a few years ago in Cairo or Damascus or Libya, when it did, similar things did happen, you know, the international media was all over it, that this was, you know, a new sign of people's power and, you know, a new soft revolution and so forth. The fact that it's being conducted by people who are also anti-US, anti-foreign intervention, I mean, I guess means it doesn't get such great publicity. But it's not wholly negative. You know, can it do anything about this, you know, extraordinarily dysfunctional kleptocratic state that has failed so badly to, you know, provide things like water or electricity, or stop ISIS? You know, they'd spent billions on the army. When ISIS attacked in Mosul in 2014, the whole army ran away. So, you know, can that be reformed? Well, good question. But, you know, there aren't too many optimists around.
Patrick Coburn is the author of Muqtada al-Sadr, The Shia Revival and the Struggle for Iraq. Thanks so much, Patrick.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.